Our text for this morning is the epistle reading, Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. I read for you again verses 9 and 16. So then, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works, as God did from his. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. This is our text. Dear Christian friends, what does it take to get some rest? The Greek word used for rest here in this letter to the Hebrews is a word that means to come to a full stop. Reminds me of a man who was in a hurry once and got pulled over by the police. And the policeman told him, "You didn't stop at that stop sign back there." And the man said, "Why, slow way down. What's the difference?" And the policeman started to beat on the guy. And he said, "Do you want me to stop or slow down?" There's a difference. We may also sometimes be in such a hurry that even when we rest, we don't really stop and rest. Always doing something. What does it take to get some rest? Just this past week, I happened to notice an article pointing out that 45% of the world's population is considered to be sleep deprived, not getting enough sleep at night. It was once predicted that by these days, modern technology and labor-saving devices would mean that we would hardly ever have to work at all. But most people would not have to spend much time working. Instead, if you know the truth, we find ourselves busier than ever. And so a study was done. That's what this article was about, to take a look at the other end of the spectrum. They identified three tribes, primitive cultures, very simple lifestyles, and they studied them and they found they didn't get any more sleep than most modern people. They were sleep deprived as well. What does it take to get some rest? Well, our text for today shows us that it doesn't come from anything we do or don't do, but it comes from God and what He does for us through Jesus. Let's look first at how God gives us time to receive rest, how God gives rest through faith in His Word, and how God gives faith in Jesus' help by grace. God gives us time to receive rest. The writer of the Hebrews says, He has somewhere spoken of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all His works. And again in this passage He says, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly received the good news failed to enter because of disobedience, again He appoints a certain day today, saying through David, so long afterwards, in the words already quoted, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken of another day later on. So then, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest is also rested from his works, as God did from his. Well, this sermon, if you note for your bulletin, is part of a series. And it's a series about stewardship. Now, if you had looked at the scripture readings for today and said, okay, we're going to hear about stewardship, you might guess we're going to hear a sermon about money. Well, both the Old Testament and the Gospel reading talk a lot about how we should give money to God and for His work and the danger of trusting money for what we need in a way that keeps us from having full faith in God. But the text here is about something that's actually more valuable and more precious than money. That is time. And so in this series, we're thinking about the overall theme of worshiping God above all. And to understand that, we have to understand that worship is not so much about what we do for God, but about receiving what God does for us. So also, proper stewardship of time is not just giving our time to God to do things for others, but taking time for what God does for us. This is why God gave the Sabbath day. Now, the word Sabbath simply means rest. Verse 4, this text quotes from Genesis chapter 1, that God rested on the seventh day for all his works. Now, the reason he rested was not because he was tired, and I don't think it was because he was out of ideas, couldn't think of anything more to create, but because he was done. In other words, it was showing that everything was complete and good. And this is why God then told Israel in the Ten Commandments that they also were supposed to rest on the seventh day from all of their work. It was to remind them that they had all they needed, not because they worked so hard every day, but because God had completely provided it all for them. Now, to teach them this, God gave them manna 6 days a week. But on the seventh day, no manna showed up. That's because they were supposed to rest. They weren't even supposed to go out and pick it up. But instead, what they had from the day before was going to be plenty for them that day. But our text tells us they didn't receive that rest. On the first Saturday that this happened, they went out frantically and searching around for manna. Oh no, what's going to happen? Because they didn't trust God to keep his promise to provide for them. Even when Joshua had finally led them into the promised land and the manna wasn't coming anymore, where they were supposed to finally rest from all their travels of 40 years in the wilderness, verse 8 says even then they didn't really find that rest that God was trying to bring them into, because still they didn't obey God, and they didn't obey God because they didn't trust him and his word. And so there too, they kept working on the Sabbath day. So, the text quotes from Psalm 95, written years later, where God angrily says, they'll never enter my rest. That is, not until they stop trusting in themselves and what they do to provide everything that they need and start trusting in God, their creator. Solomon reflects on this in the Old Testament reading we heard this morning from his book of Ecclesiastes. He notes that the rich with a full stomach can't relax and sleep any more than the common laborer with an empty stomach, because of all the concerns he has about the things that he has and how to preserve them. He says people need to recognize that wealth and possessions and work itself and the ability to enjoy all of these things is a gift from God. And until we see it as a gift from God, we'll never really enjoy it and never really relax and rest. That same kind of thing can happen to us today. An employer can think, oh, the success of my business depends on how hard I and my employees work. The pastor can think, well, the success of this church depends on how hard I and all the members work. We can think that our retirement depends on how hard our investments work, rather than seeing that everything depends on God and things that only He can control. But even our ways of relaxing are too often not restful. Being hooked on all sorts of entertainment media is one thing that keeps people from a full night's sleep. The ways of enjoying the weekend cause some people to get to Monday morning more tired than when they ended the work week. So even when we're trying to relax and enjoy ourselves, it isn't necessarily restful. What does it take to get some rest? God gives rest through faith in His Word. Verse 11, let us therefore strive to enter that rest, so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Well, verse 11 says, it's not too late to get some rest. There's rest remaining. There is a day not called Sabbath day, but simply today. Every day is a gift provided by God. Every day can be a day in which God gives us rest. So verse 11 says, let's be eager to get some of that rest. But then verse 12, if you first glance at it, seems to change the subject. Now instead of talking about rest, it talks about the Word of God. The Word of God is living and active. The point is, how are we going to get the rest we need? It's going to come through God's Word. And it doesn't depend on our working, but it depends on God's Word that's always working. And our trust in His Word. This is why Luther, in his explanation of the third commandment, says, what does it mean for us to remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy? It means that we should fear and love God so that we do not despise preaching and His Word, but hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it. Despite all that God did for the people the text refers to, they had no rest because they didn't trust and obey God's Word. The way to finally rest and relax is to trust God's Word. And that's His Word, that His Word does tell us what's truly best for us, and that His Word tells us that what He does is truly best for us, and that He promises to do it. It's easy for us to wearily plod through our work thinking it's never going to end, and even to plod through our worship as if it was a burdensome duty. But the reason that we want to spend time on this today and every day is to expose ourselves to God's Word. Because it's not just what He says we are to do, but it's what God says He will do in us through His Word. Verse 12 says, His Word is like a sword that pierces to our soul and spirit and bones and marrow. In other words, God's Word comes right inside of us. That's where it does the work of causing faith and giving peace and hope and joy. That's the work of His Word. But, this verse says, His Word is like a two-edged sword. One side of God's Word also is the law. That's what cuts us open to expose our hearts to God and expose our weakness. The word for exposed in verse 13 is a word that's used for a sacrificial animal with its neck stretched out and exposed on the altar. God's Word tells us we're like that. We're exposed and vulnerable to death. So now what? That's not the main message of God's Word. As verse 12 jumps from the Sabbath to talking about the Word, where people stop to rest and worship with God's Word, in which He gives us the true source of our rest. The next thing that happens in verse 14, it jumps from the Word and the sacrifice of those who are exposed by God's Word to the great high priest who offers the sacrifice, taking our place. That is, that God gives faith in Jesus' help by grace. Verse 14, since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Back in verse 3, he said, for we who have believed enter that rest. As he has said, as I swore my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although his works were finished from the foundation of the world. In other words, the reason people could stop and rest is that God's work was finished from the creation of the world. That's why they could stop their work as well. But they didn't truly rest because something was missing. Their faith and their obedience always fell short. But now Jesus has spoken a new and a final, it is finished, when He died for us on the cross. And we celebrate the total completion of God's new creation for us as we worship on this first day of the week, as we remember Jesus' resurrection from the dead. He was tempted in every way as we are, but He never sinned. He was obedient in our place, so He completed the obedience that the people of old did not. And then that same priest who offered the sacrifice took the place of the sacrifice itself. Jesus sacrificed Himself for us to pay for all of our sins in our place. And He rose again to make the way to eternal rest with Him in heaven. Finally in heaven, there we can have that complete rest that remains for us. Completely by grace because of Jesus' work in our place. But verse 16 says, already now heaven is open for us. So that in our worship we can already now draw near to God's throne of grace. So we can find help in our time of need. And what time of need is that? Today. Every day is the time of need. This is why today and every day we want to receive God's gifts of faith and forgiveness, which He is constantly giving us through His Word and His sacraments. This is why we want to worship, not only on Sundays, but every day. We want to be involved in reading and studying God's Word for ourselves. Because how often do you need rest? Every single day. When we are busy and focused on all the things that need to be done, it can seem like stopping to rest and sleep is a bother. But stopping to rest and sleep is a blessing. It's a good thing God makes the sun go down and makes us do that. This is what our worship today and our daily time in God's Word gives. It's a blessing by which God gives us rest from concern about all the things that we have to do and from the burden of our failure to do it all. Because here God's Word reminds us He has done everything for us. And He has given us forgiveness for all of our failures. There is a rest remaining for us in heaven. But already here today there is rest for us. We find it not in finishing everything we have to do, but in faith in God's Word about all that Jesus has done for us. So what does it take to get some rest? God gives us time to receive rest. So we eagerly spend our time, not just in work, but in worship. Because God gives rest through faith in His Word. Without faith in what God does for us, there is no real rest. And God gives faith in Jesus, help by grace. The work that Jesus has done for us is the reason for God's grace and the gift that God gives us by grace, so that we can have daily rest now and eternal rest in heaven. May God grant that this is true for each of us. Amen.